Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, folks, it's now or never, as you know, and I guess the prevailing question is, how possessed are you by all these problems, all of these issues? I mean, everywhere you turn, I mean, you could look at the food, you can look at all of the different market spaces in our economy. You can look at the social mores within our society. You can, I mean, in every direction you can look, you will find bad things happening. And I mean bad, evil things happening. And so how possessed are you by these problems? Are you looking to find out, you know, why are these? You know, I think most of us already know. Anybody that's been listening to the show for any period of time understands that every single problem that we're dealing with in our society in America today has everything to do with our government not complying to the Constitution. I mean, because they have gone down this path as of the 1800s, they actually have corrupted our society. They've corrupted the way we do business. They've corrupted us almost every facet. And it's not hard to snap back. It's not hard to get back on the enlightened path. And as a matter of fact, I believe I believe most people that have fundamental education can do this. I do look and I realize that some of the younger generation is really handicapped because they've not been taught to think. They have been indoctrinated. And the reason why, folks, is that they've been weaponizing our children to actually revolt against us. They would have never told you that to their face, but that's exactly what they've been doing. And that's exactly why these zealots are doing everything they can. We're seeing people taking big risks. Now, in blue states, it's not that big of a risk because there's so many people that are doing it, especially in the education system. But in Montana, over the weekend, I had a chance in a group conversation where we talked about teachers in Montana that are actually a librarian that injected some of this deviant sexual material. And so we talked about the laws, you know, how this breaks the laws. We also talked about, is this a lone wolf? Chances are, I mean, Montana has thousands and thousands of people in the education system, and I can't believe that this is a lone wolf situation. I believe that there's, and to be clear, these folks work together. I mean, they work in secret, they work in dark, and some of them, you know, are working that don't even know other people are working, but they're all being fed by the agenda, and the agenda is coming from down low. You know, in other words, the organization, the design, I've told you this before, this is not a coincidence that we're deploying such destructive behavior in our society that has brought down almost every other great society that's ever existed. Almost every other great society that's ever existed, except for probably Egypt. What brought down Egypt was not necessarily, because they were already that far corrupt. I think what brought down Egypt was the enlightenment of, and the establishment of Christianity, or I should say faith, true faith, more based on, and you got to understand that there was a huge evolution. Now, in Egypt and Egypt's time, the pharaohs and their religious doctrine got to a point where the pharaohs taught and they believed that they were gods, that they were the gods of gods, that they had all these different gods, and the pharaoh was the god of gods. And so until that was challenged by Moses, I mean, that paradigm was ruling for thousands of years. And then all of a sudden, Moses stood up and said, my God's greater than you and all your gods. And I'm just trying to help paraphrase this. But my point is that It was the divine hand of providence that brought down Egypt. It wasn't Satan that brought down that society. Satan basically built that society up to basically live in its pride and its glory for 3,500 years. Talk about dark ages, right? Now, when we look at all these other great societies, I mean, Rome was another society that really wasn't founded on a theocracy, but it did become a great society, and it was brought down by perversions and so forth. It tried to have discipline. It tried to have these, you know, this enlightenment, but the problem with Rome was not based on divine enlightenment. It was based on the enlightenment of man. Western society was kind of the same. However, Western society was basically an amalgamation or basically a mixture and concoction of the Roman Empire as well as the, you know, the Greek as well as the Christian, because the Roman Empire at that point, as it was, you know, growing and growing throughout Europe, it was based on a theocracy of Christianity. The Catholic Church literally ruled Rome. I mean, you couldn't become a king without the Pope coronating you. So in other words, at that point in time, the church had reached its pinnacle of control of Christianity. But most people look at that as a dark age as well, because it wasn't until we actually were able to break away and have liberty. And that is the key to a true enlightened society. The Greeks were dancing around this, all sorts of great philosophical societies danced around this, but they didn't know how to get there. And so as we look at what happened with Europe, the breakaway in Europe occurred in Britain. Because in Britain basically denied and went away from the civil law structure of Western society. And they brought back and basically established common law within their society. So there's kind of this leap. Now, most people will talk about common law being in existence for a long time, but not worldwide. And it wasn't Western society-wide either. Western society, for the longest time, had civil law until Britain actually broke away and they literally established a new structure. They went away from parishes. They went away from the design of a theocracy and went more towards the crown. Now, so you got to understand that the king broke away from and he established his own prophet or the leader of the Episcopal or the Anglican Church, right? And so he didn't need to be coronated anymore. There was kind of this, I shouldn't say that, there was this relationship, but the king held the power and he would be the one that would basically establish the organization and the growth of England instead of it being designed and controlled by I can't say papal or pope, but I think you get my point, that what we're looking at is this concept that they started creating the governance of man by men instead of by the cloth, and creating standards. And actually, by the time we got to America, America deeply ingrained the laws of nature and nature's God instead of the laws of the king. And basically use that to govern all. And that's, instead of having a single person, we actually went back to this and leveraged and used common law, which really was a paradigm shift. And it took a long time to get to that paradigm shift, to where we actually, in humble reverence, in using common law, we were able to govern ourselves more fairly, more justly. And we were able to bring society up by the bootstraps to where more people were, I'll just say, productive and involved and engaged in a productive way in society. I mean, if you look at, you know, I mean, even though every society has had the poor, every society has had their downfalls and problems, but when you look at Americans, as a matter of fact, John Adams makes an excellent notation when he goes to France for the first time, and he notices in the country of France, he walked into an orphanage that was so huge. It was so huge, all of the unwanted children in France. He said, I can't even fathom that all the orphanages in all of the colonies, in all of the states back home, would even amount to even half this size. And if you think about it, you know, we had a lot of people in America at that time, in contrast to France. And so when we look at, I mean, France had a lot of colonies around the world, but the France proper, I don't think it was as populated as the United States. It may have had millions of people, but it just wasn't as populated. And so, because, I mean, at this point, we had 13 states. So the point that Adams was really making was that because of the debauchery, because of their lack of mores or morals and I'll just say controls, and I guess the best way to say this is spiritual controls. This is really what helped people, you know, get into the groove in America. And it was really that simple. I've told you this before. There's a symbiotic relationship between church and government. The government didn't need to create the laws. People were abiding by the laws of the church and so forth. Now, I've already lost my time that I wanted to go get into the obligatories and so forth. We've got a lot to cover in the comprehensive issues. I have one feedback issue that I need to bring up. And I, you know, it's really more about me. I got some feedback about myself, and I need to share this. I didn't get a chance to share this on Friday. That's just because I didn't really discover it until after the show. But anyway, we will be right back after this. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so when we get into history, I kind of dive around, and this kind of leads to the feedback, but what I am trying to tell you is that when we look at what the heck's going on with these problems, folks, if you're a historian, you're not surprised. Technology and lots of things have diversed in how we're being attacked. And as a matter of fact, the level of evil today is greater than the level of evil that has ever surfaced such as these live organ harvestings out of China. Some of the stuff that China is doing to their people is so reprehensible that if you really knew and saw what the planners were planning there and what they're planning to do here, I mean, it's easy to get caught up. It is easy to be pulled into the problems and watch and listen. Just know that there's a solution. And the more you understand the solution, the more you are empowered. And the more you don't have to worry about the problem. The more you engage in doing what you have to do. And bottom line, we all have to stand up. Everybody kind of knows this. There's no king other than Christ that will save us. Trump won't do it. Do not point to any mortal man. I can't do it. That means, and there's this old song I remember, and it says, wishing won't make it so. This is a little line in this song, and I'll share it with you. Wishing won't make it so. Hoping won't do it. Praying won't do it. Religion and philosophy won't do it. The president won't do it. Congress won't do it. The sun and the moon won't do it. That means you. You're going to have to do it. We all have to come to that point where we say, I have to do this. I can't depend on anybody else. We have to depend on, technically, we all need to depend on each other to do our job. One of the things you learn about in the Marine Corps is you learn what your job is when you're setting up your fields of fire, and everybody focuses on their job. And if everybody does their job and nobody, you know, gets distracted, nobody, you know, oh, I got to take a break or something, and doesn't let the bad guys through their areas of fire, then you will actually protect yourselves and you will be able to defend your position. Now, we don't necessarily need to just defend our position. We have to take back our government. And we have a nuclear weapon, because that nuclear weapon doesn't actually rip through government in the initial blast. It has to rip through the people. And what I mean by this is this nuclear weapon is giving people the knowledge that they have that power, that we absolutely must start voting in and demanding. Don't even put your name on the ballot if you're not going to support and defend the Constitution. How dare you think that we're going to let you flatter us and, you know, and lure us into, you know, handouts and these types of things. We will take care of ourselves. You do your job. And that's really where we need to go, folks. We need to, and I could go on and on this topic. But bottom line, you need to understand that the problems are going to consume you if you keep engaging them. The only thing that will actually help you, and actually, I sleep great at night because I don't focus on the problems. I don't focus on the pending doom. I may acknowledge that I'm not perfect and I've got things, but I'm in a good space because I've kind of come to the acknowledgement of where I am with you know, my sins, my problems and those types of things, and say, I know I'm not perfect and I'm still not perfect, but I'm working on it and I'm in a good space that it doesn't possess me anymore. We all need to get there. We all have to get to that point where we're not possessed and where we actually, you know that we're doing everything we can. If you start doing what you can, things take care of themselves. One of the things I learned a long time ago is if you're consumed with your own problems, start helping people with their other with their problems, and it seems like your problems will just go away. And that's so true. As you know, the show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you're listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solution. Wyoming Conservative Chronicle. Get that if you're looking to actually get establishing some type of, you know, journal or some type of newspaper, some type of information, whether that be a video, whatever it is, start looking at becoming and learning about objective journalism as well as factual education, because I think journalism has a responsibility to help educate people on what the facts are, not, you know, not obscuring and trying to editorialize as, well, we believe that this is what this means. When people give you the agendas, in other words, if you're going to talk about the Constitution, which we're going to get into the ratifications probably next week, when we get into that, we're going to give you the framers' words, not GR's, not somebody else's, not some idiot conservative entertainer, but, you know, some backbencher or somebody that thinks they're the frontbencher, like Mark Levin. We're not going to let you be given bad info. The most accurate info there is when it comes to the Constitution comes from the framers themselves. It's just like the most enlightening things that, you know, are of God come from God himself or his prophets, right? You know, from the Bible, the scriptures, those things. Anyway, as you know, we've got Gary Smith at Fortitude Financial Coaching who will help you get your discipline in your finances and become financially successful. In addition to that, we also have Stan Kluett over there at RadioDustCovers.com. If you're looking to get something, for, you know, like you got a laptop and your laptop's in a station or something and you just leave it up, because I have a laptop that I just leave open. Why don't you look at getting some kind of a cover, and you can make your own. Sure, you can make your own. But if you want one that's going to be that will be waterproof, that won't be plastic, so that when you put it on there, it won't actually sweat or condense, because you got to be careful. I mean, you got electronics under there and you've got some plastic, any condensation on that plastic will go right into your keyboard. As the heat starts dissipating, there's moisture in there. You don't want to do that. But by using these nylon bulletproof types of covers that he uses, then you'll find that actually protects it from both the moisture and everything, because one, it allows it to breathe, and two, it'll keep the water. If you actually spill something on the top of it, it'll just run right off. Anyway, go check it out. These are waterproof covers, but they're nylon, and it's an interesting technology he's using, and it's an old technology as well. So as you take a look, go look at his site, and if you can figure out what you can use. As a matter of fact, if you're looking for gifts for this coming Christmas or birthdays or special events, I know we've just passed a few special events, Mother's Day, graduation, and Father's Day. But anyway, RadioDustCovers.com. And our phone number is 425-270-5416. So with that, we're going to just leap right into the Bill of Rights, or the comprehensive positions to campaign on for all these elections that could be happening in your county, state, and or the federal government. I refer to them as the Bill of Rights 2022, really helping us realign and start focusing on what we need to be doing in getting our government back into the framework of the Constitution. So let's talk a little bit. Now, I'm writing a detailed article on the First Amendment right of petition, but I'm just going to kind of brush over this, and we're going to get into some petitions that are associated to this. But if you really look at, because we kind of talked a little bit about the history of common law, and we talked about the civil law, and in the Magna Carta, this is where the first application, or I should say, putting teeth into common law was created by the right of petition. Now, in the old days, like in Moses and so forth, the right of petition, you petitioned your judge, your local judge. There were levels of judges that you could petition and just go through. And in those days, the judges was not a profession. In other words, it wasn't a full-time job. I mean, there were points in time where there were lots of people that, you know, needed help or what have you, but it wasn't a way that they, you know, just made money off of each other. Not like today. Anyway, and it's the same thing with the same thing with doing the work. Excuse me. And actually, Let me get into my feedback, because my feedback was a little bit about how fragmented I speak and some of the problems that I'm having in communicating. And I think everybody does understand it. Everybody knows that. And it was brought to my attention that sometimes I talk too fast, and I am, you know, they have to actually pull the podcast so they can hear it a few times, so that they can kind of start associating all these different fragments of information I provide. I need to really slow down. The bottom line is I'm on medication that makes my mind just go way too fast. I'm on hyperdrive. And you'd think I'd be losing weight, but this medication is, I'm just fortunate. I'm stable at the weight I am. But bottom line, I know that when I speak too fast and when I get in a hurry, it just gets out of control to some extent. And so I basically want to promise, or I want to let you know, that I'm going to do everything I can to try to slow down and going through the information so that we can thoroughly go through it and get through it succinctly as possible, so that we can continue moving through all of this information that you really need to understand to help you get into the right mode of campaigning and demanding our constitutional rights. We'll be right back after this. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so the interesting thing is, the Magna Carta is a byproduct of common law and a common law society that was building itself on enlightenment. When people started recognizing that they had more rights. Now, you got to understand, the capacity of people did not, and they weren't capable of thinking and challenging the divine right of a monarch. The myth or the indoctrination of people over centuries and centuries, they truly believed that these people were superior because of their genetic line. Now, this was challenged by John Locke later on, but the fact is, as we were evolving, and as the people said, "Hey, we have rights. We have fundamental rights. You can't treat us like this anymore." That begot the Magna Carta in 1215. 1215. It was a while ago, and from that point forward, they kind of created and operated for a couple of hundred years a pretty decent society. Then the kings or the monarchs started playing games. They started going down this path of, you know, playing in the governing, because the original governance was really, and here's the interesting thing. As you look at the counts that were controlling the people throughout the countryside, and you look at the structure of the kingdom, it was kind of family-based. And they kind of got away from that because instead of having counts, the king went to basically, and he created a position called the sheriff. Now, the counties were still established and they were operating, but there was a sheriff that wasn't necessarily a family member. It was a noble position anointed upon some worthy member of the community. And the sheriff's job and his primary responsibility was to enforce the laws, but more importantly, to collect taxes. This is why every sheriff actually had a castle. And so throughout England, there's all these little castles, and the whole purpose of the castle was to guard the king's treasure. And then at times, after the sheriff collected so much taxes and goods and so forth from the people, because in those days they collected commodities, not just gold, because if all you could pay is in chicks or chickens or whatever, then the sheriff would take those things if that was desired or needed. If not, then they would, I don't know. I don't know how it all worked. But bottom line, the sheriff was really more of a tax collector. And in creating, actually, he enforced laws that were arbitrary that the king was creating. Like, you can't hunt in my forest. You can't grow, food over here in the king's agricultural farms. He was taking the best of the land. The king was literally taking the best for himself so that he could feed and, arm his armies and so forth. And he employed his own farmers and, paid them and so forth. Everybody else was just kind of living on their own. And they were creating people that were, uneducated or what have you, that went into the military. Now, the church, and this is kind of interesting because even the church back then was educating these folks, and the people that were getting educated were those people who were going into service in the military or what have you, kind of like an academy, that type of stuff. They didn't have, homeschooling or teaching everybody. The education system was somewhat limited, but it started growing more and more because everybody says, hey, we have a right to understand. We have a right to be able to learn how to read and write. And by the 1500s, around there, when the Bible started getting printed, by this point in time, everybody started teaching themselves, or enough people started learning how to read so that they could actually read the scriptures. I mean, there were lots of people that were, I will just say, illiterate, but literacy in the Bible started growing, and at that point is when we saw this big, huge bloom. Now, again, I would just want to bring up this whole point of John Locke, because I believe John Locke lived in the 1600s, and John Locke was the one that challenged Hobbes. See, Hobbes wrote this academic article that the monarchs were divine, and that, they were born to rule us. And John Locke said, that can't be. And his basic premise came down to this, that if God was only to deal with the monarch at the time, that senior person, then, and he was to govern us, then why did God go straight to Cain? Because Adam was still alive when Cain slew Abel. And so why didn't God go to Adam and say, did you know that your son Cain slew Abel? He didn't do that. He went straight to Cain and held Cain accountable. And so at that point, everybody started realizing that there had been instances and several points in time where God did not go to the monarch or that divine person, the senior person, supposedly of divine rule. And he proved that all people had the right of the spirit. All people had the right of, all men at this point in time had the rights of the priesthood to be able to, be ordained and do these things. It wasn't, you didn't have to be a family.
And so this whole challenge of being a genetic or the superior race or lineage or anything like that was challenged, and it broke down what we would see as possibly a caste system or these separations of degrees in families and or society and the genetic lines in society. So all of a sudden, everybody started shifting into, hey, we're all equal. We're all created in God's image and so forth and so on. So anyway, as we kind of go through history and get into the Americas, that's when enlightenment. But the bottom line is the right of petition, this right of petition came forth through enlightenment into the common law society of the Magna Carta. This is where they said, we have a right to hold you accountable and so forth. And even King John didn't even bat an eye. What he basically said is, you know what? I am going to be willing to surrender my kingdom and my possessions. But one of the things he didn't surrender was his birthright. And this concept is completely supported by this idea that they believe that they had this birthright that they couldn't reject. They couldn't abdicate their responsibility in leading. So what King John basically said is he would be willing to give up his kingdom, his possessions, until he fixed the right, until he redressed the grievance. And so as we move forward, we go into the Glorious Revolution, where they reconfirm all of these rights and the right of petition very specifically to ensure that these rights cannot be trampled on. Because by that point in time, by the 1680s, I believe, it was when, you know, England was really trampling on the people's rights. Well, after they had that revolution and they said, okay, we won't do that, then they started trampling on the colonies' rights, and eventually they started once again trampling on the Englishman's rights. By the time John Adams and Thomas Jefferson were in England working on the treaty to end the Revolutionary War, this is when it became clear to these men that these Englishmen, they're not enjoying the rights of an Englishman either. I mean, here America broke away, and they actually, while they were on a journey, going through the English, you know, countryside, because they were taking a break from the treaty, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson came across the crossroads in this small town community where the beginning of the Revolutionary War, the rebellion that caused the Glorious Revolution, or I should say the Glorious Bill of Rights, came from all of this. And so when they were standing there, there was a crowd of people. I don't know how many people were there, but there was a crowd, and it was accounted for that they lectured the British people to say, you know, here you are as British citizens, and yet, you know, you no longer enjoy these rights and these rights and these rights that were guaranteed by you, by your grandfathers who fought that revolution. What the heck has happened? He's basically trying to get these people to wake up and stand up for themselves. And you know, the bloody Yanks or what have you, they said, and they didn't listen to them. And so look at England today. I mean, England is, they're so proud on, you know, loving their king that they still surrender to the queen today, you know, way too much of their income, and their government has become so socialist, and their rights have been, I don't even think they have rights anymore. They're given privileges. As a matter of fact, if you know how they tax people, they tax you on your television. They tax you on your water hose, the length of your water hose. I mean, the level of taxation, the level of, you know, things that the government, you know, gets into the meticulous detail. I couldn't live that way. But anywho, we've got this article, and I don't go through all the history in this article. What I do go through is I go through the constitutional perspective of the First Amendment right of petition. So it's not done yet. I'm working on it. I was hoping to have it done this weekend, but my whole weekend went sideways. So anyway, what we want to do is we want to just basically help you understand that this article drives and couples the Article 6 Oath of Office in Section 3. It couples Section 3 of holding people accountable to that oath of office in the 14th Amendment, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment.
And as well as this First Amendment right of petition, they are coupled together. There's a reason why all three of these things are in there, because they create that yoke that we put upon, because the Constitution itself requires that our public servants wear this yoke. We will be right back after these two comments or two promos.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so I want you to get this. And so before we get into the petitions, and as we look at where we are today, what got us here and who got us here, the divine hand of providence, our Creator and our Lord and Savior, they got us here. I want you to understand that only they knew what we would need. You've heard me say this a lot, that they knew what we would need. They knew where we would be at this point in time. And they gave us within this thing called the Constitution everything we need if we exert our birthright as His children, right? We were created in His image. And if we take that stand and unite and demand control of our governance once again. See, the problem is we have not been in charge. We have to be vigilant. You just can't go to sleep trusting people, because that's where things go awry. It kind of goes down this concept of power, you know, absolute power corrupts and power corrupts and so forth. And anyway, when we start connecting and coupling Article 6 of the Constitution with its Section 3, the oath of office that's right there in Article 6, along with the Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, that no public servant can be in office if they violate that, the thing that connects them is the petition, the right of petition for the redress of grievances. This is why before we even got to the Civil War, they really started ignoring petitions. They actually started abridging petitions because the Senate injected a rule to keep petitioning out of the Senate regarding abolition and slavery. They said, we're not going to listen to that anymore. That was done by the Democrats. The Democrats instituted the rule called the slave gag or the gag order on slavery. They weren't to talk about it. People were not allowed to petition them. I want you to understand that.
I mean, that is the ultimate evil when they say, we're no longer going to listen to you. Folks, we're getting this from the Supreme Court. We're getting this from our federal court system, from our government, from both our legislators, as well as the executive. Even Trump. We're going to do it my way. This is what has to happen. I wanted to, and over the weekend, I didn't get a chance to talk about this. We'll bring it up tomorrow. But over the weekend, it's just, I mean, I don't think Trump is the good guy anymore. That anybody, we can't look at him as the good guy until he actually starts getting it, that he doesn't understand what his job as president under the Constitution. He really thinks he's a king. And his comments regarding Pence, but I digress. I want you to understand this, that why we were given this right of petition and why we were given these just seems like innocuous words in the Constitution. Because the Lord, I've told you, he knew, but what you don't, maybe I haven't said it in this manner. He knew if we revolted, if we went into a revolution, instead of using the civil order that he gave us within this Constitution, we would end up destroying our Constitution and liberty by our own hands. And I am telling you, all we have to do to quickly restore our constitutional republic is getting people to understand it is our duty as citizens that we must support and defend the Constitution. And our illiteracy on the Constitution doesn't help, which is why this program is so focused on helping, giving you the framers' words of exactly what this all means. There is no other program out there. This is why I really don't care if I entertain you. I know I'm empowering you. I'm bestowing upon you the gift of knowledge, where if you choose to act, you'll be able to actually make a big impact. You'll be able to actually be significant in changing the course of America and actually writing in the annals of history the new turn of society, not just of, you know, what I'd say of America, but the entire world. Because overall, it will affect the globalism and it will basically knock globalism off of its ledge. There will be, then this, to me, if you think about it, if you really think about it, this may actually be the thing that actually pushes the Antichrist and those who are actually following him to actually descend upon Israel, because nobody's talking about trying to destroy Israel. I mean, it's almost like that rancor is gone. It's almost like everybody's just accepted Israel as a nation. I'm telling you, they haven't. They do not like the fact that Israel is a nation because it is indicative of the sign of the times. And this is why if they wipe out Israel, then they can say, oh, well, see the Bible here where it says Israel will finally become a nation? It's not a nation anymore. Ah. And there goes the argument for the end times and that these are the times. And folks, these are the times. Do not think that what's going on is not leading us towards his coming. He's coming. He's coming soon. I don't know when, but he will be coming soon. Maybe in my lifetime? I hope so. Who knows? I could die tomorrow. I mean, considering my condition, who knows? But fact of the matter is, he gave us everything we needed so that we could secure our Constitution and our liberties. And that's a big deal. I hope you understand and fathom how big of a deal that is. So what we have to do in the petition, and this is basically, I don't want to say, a simple petition. What we're talking about here is we're basically putting a petition that will demand the restoration of the consequences of government failing to comply with our petitions. We need to get our state, and first we got to start with our county. And our county basically will not allow, they can't do anything because the state has these unconstitutional controls. And so this is why we really need to go down this path, and this is why definitizing the Constitution and all these other things are going to be important. That we, folks, you need to start understanding the things that you need to understand so we can create constitutions for our counties, rewrite our constitutions for our states, and pull things back into common law courts, and, you know, restoring the rights of the First Amendment petition. And the consequences of government failing to comply with our petitions means that they cannot tax us, that we can actually withdraw our taxes. And we can point to the petition of grievance and say, until you fix that, you don't get a dime or a penny. Who knows? Let's make a penny worth something again, right? Imagine that. We actually restoring this constitutional republic where a penny actually becomes a value again. Wow. But one of the things they've been robbing us of is they've basically been taking away the copper and the silver out of our metal. We don't even have silver dimes, silver coins. We call it silver. And this is how they inflate our currency, and this is how they rob our wealth. There's some really good books out there. And I think, I'm trying to remember who was it that wrote and postulated this. I want to say maybe it was Thomas Woods that talked about it. Anyway, I think he wrote a book that talked about it. We need to define, and so the next issue we need to talk about is defining the peaceable assembly. Bottom line, non-peaceable assembly in streets, sidewalks, or areas designated for commerce, and these things, what we call protests, must be outlawed and treated as barbarous treason. The Whiskey Rebellion was the first protest in America, and those who participated in it were tried for treason, and two men were convicted of treason for their protesting. Petitioning is a constitutional right, and it is a civil process where you do not inflict or put anybody in questionable harm in society. You only go and scare the living heck out of your politicians that they may lose their job. That's the only thing that we should be holding over them, that they lose their job and then they have to go and work for themselves again. And try. I mean, we don't like them working for us. I bet you they won't like working for themselves. Anyway, so we need to start learning how to use petitioning as a constitutional right and the only process for people to engage government at any level. And government cannot be constrained, or actually that we must constrain government. Let me correct that. That we must constrain government and that the people cannot be constrained one bit from this right. So government can't come along and start abridging. You have to understand, they can't abridge this right the way it's written in the Bill of Rights, and we need to make sure it stays that way. Protesting and blocking access to commerce, religious worship, peace assembly or peaceable assembly in assembly areas, or speech, or areas designed for assembly, it's okay that we actually allow those things to happen, but we cannot allow them to block any business. Fact of the matter is, if you make abortion, and if abortion is actually illegal in the state, they cannot protect that business. That is not a business of commerce. It's illegal. And what the government has done is they basically said, we say it's legal and you can't block it because the government is exercising powers it doesn't have. So the fact of the matter is, when people create illegitimate governments, or I should say illegitimate businesses or illegitimate services, those types of things, prostitution, it's okay for people to actually assemble outside the doors of a brothel and keep people from going in if it's an illegal business. But the fact of the matter is that the people shouldn't be enforcing the laws unless it is the militia, which is an organized force. And we'll get into that. We'll get into that possibly tomorrow. But nevertheless, we're out of time, and we're going to finish this up. We'll get this done this week. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.